is the outline of my talk. It includes the introduction, methodology, results, and the conclusions. For solar renewable energy industry, the most important prerequisite is the assessment of solar resource assessments. So for both the modeling and ground measurements approaches are used for this one. Basically the ground-based measurements are used for the validation of the model. At the same time, modeling of the solar radiation is the basis for the for many engineering and economic decisions. For the present study, I have used these instruments for the data, and LIGOR pyranometer is used for the measurements of the broadband flux, and the CMER sun photometer observations of spectral aerosol optical depth from the aeronet station is also used for the cloud optical depth as well as the cloud base height. I have used the Calypso satellite observations. For the modeling of flux, I have used the SBDOT model that stands for the Santa Barbara Discrete Ordinate Radiative Transfer Model. There are many input parameters are required for the model, and basically mainly on aerosol and cloud parameters. For the aerosol optical depth, we need I have used the five spectral aerosol optical depth at five wavelengths, as well as the other parameters such as single scattering albedo and asymmetric parameters. For the cloud parameters such as cloud optical depth and cloud droplet cloud base height as used from the for the simulations are used from the Calypso observations. In addition, it also requires the columnar water vapor. These are also used from the aeronet observations. In addition, there are any other parameters are required: surface albedo, atmospheric profiles, as well as a columnar ozone. For the columnar ozone and these atmospheric profiles, I have used the standard atmospheric profiles deployed in the radiation transfer code itself. And finally, the simulated GHI and DNA are compared with the pyranometer observations. And this is the study location, the Masdar city. The measurements were carried out from the Masdar city, and the study period was for the two specific periods of summer and winter. June 2012 is taken as a representative summer and December as a representative winter. For the summer, the specialty is that the atmosphere will be loaded with aerosols with less amount of clouds. On the other hand, the December, it will be relatively clean atmosphere with less amount of aerosol, but at the same time, it will be like relatively cloudy skies. Coming to the results, this is the model simulated broadband flux of GHI and DNA for the for June 2012, which was relatively cloud-free. And it shows that GHI is closer to the observation, the simulation during the SBDOT model is closer to the observation for GHI at the same time that for the DNA, it shows large discrepancy. And for the mean absolute error is for the GHI is absolutely approximately 3%. For the DNA, it is goes as high as 30%. And similar discrepancy between the measurements and model for the DNA is also observed from other location, and one of the most possible solution is the use of the improper IR gaseous absorption models in the radiation transfer code. In addition, the uncertainties in the input data used is also create this kind of large deviation. For the cloudy conditions, this is for the two particular cases of simulation during December 2012, and here the simulation are carried out using the aerosol optical depth from the aeronet station as well as the cloud optical depth from the Calypso satellite observations. From the figure, it is clear that the cloud optical depth is crucial for the simulation of cloudy day flux, and when the for the best accurate simulations. Cloud optical depth at hourly intervals are required for the simulations. In addition, the spectral irradiance and its sensitivity to different input parameters were also studied, and this is the sensitivity to surface albedo as well as the water vapor. For the surface albedo varied from 0.15 to 0.35. It shows that it is less significant, and variation for the GHI, and it is probably it is significant only over this shortwave region. For the water vapor, it was a large variation is observed when it is changed from 0 to 4, mainly at the longer wavelength region. And this is a sensitivity to the aerosol optical depth. When the aerosol optical depth was changed from 0.1 to 1, there is a large reduction in the DNA is observed. Almost one-third of the flux has been reduced for the DNA. Whereas for the GHI, it is not that much reduction because of the component of the large diffused component. And this is a sensitivity to other aerosol parameters such as single scattering albedo and the asymmetry parameter. For both the parameters, when it is for single scattering albedo, when it is increased from 0.65 to 0.95, there was a significant increase in the flux is observed, particularly at the shortwave region. Similar observation is also observed for the asymmetric parameter. And this is the sensitivity to the cloud optical depth. When the cloud optical depth is increased from 0.1 to 1, it is also found the similar results with just like the aerosol optical depth. There is a large reduction in the flux in the DNA. At the same time, the reduction in the GHI is not that much significant compared to the DNA. In addition, the cloud droplet size is also varied in the model, and it is found that it is not that much significant reduction in the flux is observed with the change in the cloud droplet size. Okay, coming to the conclusions, the model is able to simulate the GHI and DNA in relatively good accuracy, and the input cloud data, cloud and aerosol parameters are crucial. Accuracy of this input cloud and aerosol parameters are crucial for the simulation accuracy. And this will be the future plan, and the simulation has to be improved using the standard instead of the standard atmospheric profiles, the realistic atmospheric profiles as well as the columnar ocean has to be incorporated for improving the simulations. Thank you.
Could you please go back to that slide where you show the sensitivity against AOD?
This one?
Yeah. I see something strange. Here.
Yeah, this could be due to the alpha variation. Because I have used the aerosol optical depth at 5 wavelengths from the AeroNet observations.
Rather than the angstrom exponent, you mean?
Because in that model, there is no provision for giving the angstrom exponent, but there is only the provision for giving the aerosol optical depth at different wavelengths.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think still that there is you showed a large bias in DNI, so I would say that it's not exactly satisfying. maybe you should compare to SMARTS, maybe. For better results.
Okay.
So I see that you have used Calypso dataset.
Yes.
And I believe you don't have that many overpasses.
Yes,
over your site.
That is the reason I have limited the study for the cloudy sky simulation for 2 days, because for that day only it is coinciding with the observations.
So how do you account for the cloud top and base, because you have daily variations in your DNI? And
yes, that's what in that simulations I have used the cloud optical depth at approximately 10 UT, that is corresponds to the satellite overpass. So here I have done similar trials with similar AODs at similar cloud optical depth at different times. Suppose like from 8 to 12. So then I was just like comparing with the observations. So it was when the cloud optical depth was matching with the reality, then it is better. The simulations were better.
Okay. The other thing is, I'm not sure what Calypso product you are using, because how do you discriminate clouds from aerosols? Because I see there are some issues with that in some of the data products.
Actually, that is for the Calypso. They have two dual wavelengths with dual polarization at 532 and 1064. And so it will be able to give the cloud product at single wavelength, 532 nanometer, because of the polarization characteristics. And you will get the aerosol optical depth at two different wavelengths as well.
So are you using some kind of quality flex from the Calypso product itself, or are you producing your own? Because I know there's a CAT, they have a CAT product, and they try to give associate quality to the data. And I'm not sure whether you have used that.
No, so far I didn't use it.
It would be good to consider that, I guess.
Okay, thank you. The main objective, because the problem is that for the clear sky conditions we have different models, but for the cloudy conditions it is still an issue. So if the models which is able to simulate the flux during over the sky cloudy conditions with the real optical cloud optical and aerosol optical depth, then it will be good, because for the models we have chemistry transport model simulation, so it will give the hourly values of the aerosol optical depth as well as the cloud optical depth, because it is combining with the weather forecast model. So this approach will be able to do the simulations in better accuracy for the cloudy conditions. That's what I feel.
The last one, why do you use this particular latitude transfer model? Why did you choose this particular model?
Okay, well, this has been used for the radiative. This has been using for many, like more than 10 years for the radiative, for the radiative transfer for the clear and sky cloudy condition, and it has been widely used for different radiative transfer calculation, mainly for the radiative forcing estimations for aerosols and clouds. So that's why I selected this model.
Thank you.